Welcome. You are listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is our content editor, Dr. Christina Zimmerman. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Good to be with you once again as we look at James, Living Out Your Faith. And we're in session two today, titled Faith on Display in Your Relationships. You know, we've made a lot of advances in medicine and technology, but we've made absolutely no advancement in human relations. Divisiveness is worse today than ever before. We just see it in all types of situations. We need to see people as God sees them. And that's what this session is all about. We will be looking at the second chapter of James, verses 1 through 13.
All right. So our point for today is don't play favorites. So how does faith avoid favoritism? Well, easy. Favor everyone. Let's read these first four verses. My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in your glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also comes in, if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor person, stand over here or sit on the floor by my footstool, haven't you made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So there, what a great thing this is. So simply, this one says favor everybody. So the whole idea is treating everybody the same. Give everybody honor and give everybody favor, because this is certainly a human temptation that is in this text. The idea of giving preference to those who look good or who have the resources or things like that, and then treating people that may not have those same kind of advantages like they were less than. And so this is certainly a struggle in many people's lives. And so this could be favoritism in terms of their socioeconomic condition. It could be favoritism in terms of their gender. It could be favoritism in terms of their race. It could be favoritism by the school that they went to, or by the place where they grew up, or by the sports team that they root for. So there are so many ways that we push people into favorite categories. And this says, look, just favor everybody. Give everybody the good graces of God. What are you seeing here, Christina?
That's right, Mark, because it looks to me here that James is firmly opposing prejudice. You know, the word for favoritism, the Greek word literally means lift up the face. Now, this is a sense that you're judging how a person appears on the outside. Think about this. What if God showed favor? What if God, you know, was prejudiced and he favored different people? What a horrible church we would have. People would, because remember, the command is to be like God. And so I am so grateful that we have a God who shows no partiality. So his followers should not show favoritism. Everyone in the body of Christ has equal standing before the Lord. And this is something that we can make a decision to do right now. right away. We don't have to wait until we learn to love more or anything like that. Make that decision that you're going to treat everyone the same. Don't be placed in a position where you're having to say, hold it to my head and not to my heart. You know, we want to not have to make excuses for the way that we treat others. And so if someone is different from us, if someone doesn't have the same money that we have, you know, different economical standing, then we should still love them and treat them as God would.
All right. So, yeah, favor everyone. But the second point says, dishonor no one. So let's read this second group of verses, starting at verse number 5. Listen, my brothers and sisters, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? And so, yeah, so think about this, we make these distinctions about who we're going to favor, and we favor the people who may not be favoring God. We favor them because of some of the things we think are status symbols, or some of the things we think are similar to us, rather than what's godly. And so often, this is a reminder that often poor people can be richer in faith. Why? Why would that be the case? Because riches have a way of drawing us away from God. And so sometimes when you get a little change in your bank account, right? A new house, a new job, a new car, you think you've arrived. And often, and sometimes some of us put God on the back burner when we start getting what we're going to call blessed, right? We start becoming more successful financially, and then we try to put God on the back burner. But just remember this. The Bible says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And he says, aren't those that you're honoring the ones who oppress you, and drag you into court, and they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? He said, these people aren't even treating you right, but you're so enamored by the fact that they have some status symbols that you're going to favor them over Mother Smith, who may not have but 2 cents in the bank, but is rich in faith, right? So what's the answer to this? Just don't dishonor anybody, right? Don't put anybody down. Don't dishonor the rich or the poor, because God has a greater plan at work. What are you seeing here, Christina?
Right. And you know, this was James appealed to his brothers and sisters in an urgent manner. You know, he said, listen, in verse 5, listen. He intended for his readers to pay close attention to what he was getting ready to ask them. So we know that this had to be important. It was important to him then, and it should be important to us today. He asked, didn't God choose the poor? That is an absolutely convicting question for us to take notice of. James is helping us to see that every life, every human life that God made is the same. And so he seems to be building on what he stated earlier that we should avoid favoritism. And then he adds the little caveat here, didn't God choose the poor? In other words, aren't we all the same? And so that's something. It's all about love. For God so loved the world that he died for every person and not just for a select few.
All right, so favor everyone, dishonor no one, and just love each other. So here are the last verses in this session. Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the entire law yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you are a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. All right. So, wow. So this is a great piece that we're picking up here at the end, which simply says, love each other, love each other. So he reminds us of the great commandment, right? So there's the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And here's the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. There it is. So if you start showing favoritism, then you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Because none of us want to be disfavored, huh? And he reminds us here that if we are guilty at one point, we're guilty of breaking the whole law. So we don't want that to be the case in our lives. And that's why the great commandment reminds us, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says, speak and act for those who are judged to be judged by the law of freedom, because he says, ultimately, we get mercy by showing mercy, huh? By showing the mercy of God to people who and that's like showing God's love to those who don't deserve it, huh? And he says, we get mercy by showing mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. This is a great, great passage reminding us that how we ought to relate to one another. What are you seeing, Christina?
Yes, and there's so much in these verses, Mark. If God shows mercy, then we should show mercy. That's just a given there. We want to continue to look like Jesus and to grow in maturity and to develop our faith. So James didn't trivialize their actions. He bluntly said and reinforced that if you show favoritism, then you have committed sin. It's as simple as that. And as Mark has already said, you know, if you sin in one area, then you are breaking the whole law. So to commit favoritism, to commit adultery, to murder, to lie, places the individual in the same status. Now they are a sinner, they are a lawbreaker. The point here is that we need to love. We need to love. We don't want to disappoint our Father who is in heaven. We want to do as he has asked us to do and to be like him. He loves us all, so we need to love as God loves.
So what a great, you know, such a simple lesson, but so very important and profound, you know, especially in these days when just the whole idea of how to treat one another, the idea of love and respect, how we ought to talk to one another, how we ought to show grace. You know, we live in this cancel culture. Right? And so, no, we need a mercy culture, not a cancel culture. And so this is going to be such a timely, helpful, and important lesson. You know, people who are on social media often, you know, they take their filters off and they say every kind of mean thing. No, no, we're to love one another. And so this is going to be a great reminder for each one of us as we study this lesson together. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip. And so I want to remind everybody, you can get your copy of the U Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/U. That's lifeway.com/Y-O-U. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. The teacher's guide is in the back of the book. Has daily devotional guides to keep you engaged in the Bible all week long, a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. So this is great. So Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, the teaching tip for today just helps to enhance the lesson somewhat. Prepare to discuss discrimination. You know, after a year of civil unrest due to the deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and others, and just recently, I don't know the young man's name, but he was shot more than 60 times by the police. That won't be in this research, but it can be a part of it. Pew Research conducted a survey on discrimination in the U.S. And the findings revealed that 80% of Americans believe discrimination against Blacks exists. 80%. And then 76% believes that it exists against Hispanics. And 70% agreed that there's discrimination against Asians. So even without this research, as I said, we're continuing to see news reports that expose the sin of people being devalued. The sad reality is that most people discriminate against others, unlike themselves. So be prepared to talk about discrimination. Pray for boldness to expose this sin. James's book is full of challenges that may step on toes. Be prepared to be transparent and share a time when you perpetrated or witnessed discrimination and how that experience impacted you. So just prepare. You know, it's good to be able to discuss this in the classroom in a Bible study class.
All right. Thank you so very much. Fran, I know that this is going to be a blessing as you study this lesson. And join us again for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.